is your place. This is where you'll serve America best. Your future's in the sky. You see, the way the Air Force Reserves feel about it, they're fighting and they're flying for the safety of our people at home, our mothers and fathers and our sisters and brothers. America will have overwhelming superiority in the air.
Hello, Okies. This is number ocho plus one, ocho plus uno, episode 9. It's easier to remember ocho plus one for me today. This is Colonel Gormley, 507th Air Refueling Wing Commander. And to my right, I have...
Colonel Ryan Brader.
Who are you again?
Oh, the deputy. Right. As of today, I'm still the deputy.
All I asked was within the first minute we not mess up, and I feel like we need to start over and edit all that out.
But we got it out of the way.
Let's keep going so everyone understands that we can't even do anything. We had one job, and that was to get the first minute right, and we screwed that up. All right, and today we have what in the past we would have called a guest, but she's not a guest because she's our brand spanking new command chief. Chief, you want to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. This is Chief Stephanie Orwick, the command chief of the 507th Air Refueling Wing, the newest Okie.
Chief, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
This has been a long time coming. We did the interview months ago. Do you remember what month that was? What was that?
February.
Well, that was a little while ago. It was cold here, windy, and now it is blazing hot.
It was cold in Colorado.
For the record, both Colonel Brader and Chief Orwick both live in Colorado Springs.
Absolutely.
So I can
within
ask them.
Within about 2 miles of each
really?
Other.
Really? That close?
That's close.
We just kind of figured it out this weekend, how close it is.
Oh, wow. So is that Sherwood Forest? What's that place called?
The Black Forest.
Yeah.
The Black Forest that's green.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I know that area sort of. Northgate Academy type thing.
For the record, we are not Academy grads.
No.
I could tell. Yeah. I could tell. And I wasn't even, just for the record, you don't look like us. You don't fit in, you know?
No. Other side of the fence.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's a height requirement.
Height requirement.
Oh, here we go.
And it started.
It's
We're not
funny.
Gonna edit that. This version of Air Fuel Radio is brought to you by height requirements.
I am now the former command chief of the 507.
Where's Wiseman? Welcome to the podcast. This is number 9 or ocho plus one. These have been a blast to make. We come in with sort of an idea of what we want to talk about and to let anyone in on our secret today. It is no secret. It really is to introduce you to the wing. Talk about your career, your goals for the wing, your family, everything that got you kind of this point, whatever that means to you. And along the way, we can talk about the 507th and what's going on here. Does that sound like a plan?
No, I'm excited. Definitely.
Well, so yesterday was your change of responsibility here at the wing. I'd never seen a change of responsibility. That was new to me. Isn't that ceremony new? Is the ceremony itself newer?
Our sister services have done it for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over the years.
But,
and your dad, you speak of sister service. Your dad is a retired Army.
He is.
And he was?
He was an Army sniper, Sergeant Major, and ended his career as intel.
That's great. But Sergeant Major, so you have that real literal joint.
Yeah, I used to joke with him that I was going to outrank him, and so we're the same rank. So I got to stay a day longer than he did.
Isn't that neat?
He told me yesterday. He goes, although we're the same in terms of the rank, I'm still dead.
So, for sure.
So he's like, I still got it.
He reminds me of that.
Yeah, he reminded me of that. So I get to meet your entire family yesterday.
Fantastic family.
Yeah. And Chief Wiseman's family was there, and some of them came in from Scotland. So I got to meet them. I didn't understand anything they said, but they seemed like nice people. I'm not sure if I understood them, I would still like them. To all the airmen listening, thank you for sitting through those three ceremonies. I felt like it was necessary. We did. We all talked about this. We felt like it was necessary to have the awards recognition because we don't do it enough. We don't recognize our airmen enough. There's always more to recognize because they're always doing something extraordinary. But we took about 20, 25 minutes to do that yesterday. And it was just the right time. Everyone was already there. I felt like I'd take advantage of that.
Absolutely. I mean, we only have, 16 hours every UTA to get things done. And too often we cut things like award ceremonies or the recognition. And those are just key moments that we have to take a moment and recognize all the hard work all of our airmen are doing. And there are some outstanding airmen here at the 507.
And we caught up with fourth quarter and also first quarter. So we're almost caught up. And then we rolled right into the change of responsibility. And that was the first time I'd ever gone through those motions as the commander. So I kid you not, I woke up yesterday morning at 4:45, and you know what I was thinking about? The markings on the stage, and I had a dream about being at the wrong marking and screwing the whole thing up. Oh yeah, like just for the record, doesn't matter the rank, you know, or the grade.
Right.
I woke up shaking that I messed it all up, and you weren't upset until it was all over, and you took me aside at the end. You said, "Wow, I thought it was going to go better, sir." And you just walked out. Yep. That's
funny. There's a heck of a dream.
Yeah, it was not good. Yep. So I woke up shaking and shivering. So I came in here early yesterday morning, and I remember I asked you to come in. Yeah. I go, "Hey, Chief, let's go over this one more time." Remember that? And you were nice enough to come in. Yes. We went through the motions. We went through the motions, and she was nice enough just to listen to me go over the whole thing verbally. So
from an audience perspective, it was really well done. All three blended together nice. It was a great celebration. Very unique that we got to celebrate as a wing.
Yeah.
But we also had our local civilian dignitaries, and we had our families there.
Yep.
It's very rare to have families there to see awards.
You're right.
That's annual quarterly awards or the first sergeant's award going all the way through the
afternoon. That's a great point. At the award ceremony, we recognized our airmen, but at the end, we recognized the first sergeant council.
Oh, yes. What an honor.
Right. Just last UTA, we were told by Chief Dennis, the 4th Air Force command chief, that we had won the 4th Air Force, so our NAF, our Numbered Air Force Council Award. And then I don't know what day it was last week, I got a text from Chief Dennis saying, "You're clear to announce it at the award ceremony." Because they wanted to make sure that I think the boss, meaning General Healy, approved it, and he did. So it was perfect. It was the day before the ceremony, and we were able to announce it yesterday that we won it for all of Africa.
Great time.
So it was. The actual award itself, Chief, was for numerous organizations here within our reserve family, I guess I should say, the First Sergeant Council, right?
Yes. You know, that's what I love about learning about this council is that it's not just the 507th. It's the 513th Air Control Group, mm-hmm. 35th Combat Comm, mm-hmm. and they all come together, one team, one family, one fight. And you don't always get that. And the way they do it seamlessly, and they treat all airmen as airmen. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what patch they have on their shoulder.
Right.
They are airmen, and we're going to take care of them all.
And it adds so much to the diversity of the group in terms of extending your family, right? Extending your background, whether it's a mission set or where they themselves have come from. It really is a pretty special group. Mm-hmm. If you've ever met the 35th Combat Comm folks, they're actually part of the 10th Air Force. They're
just about to go there.
Their blood doesn't bleed red. They are a completely hoo-ha kind of group. It's incredible.
So, and the 513th is 10th also. So it's actually multiple NAFs. 10th Air Force, 4th Air Force, and then you wouldn't know that. There you go.
And gotcha. That's where the magic
happens. Well, it's a special day, and it also came with, no kidding, a UFC belt, right? Like a Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant.
Heavyweight belt. That's neat.
Was it Rowdy Piper?
Roddy Piper.
Yeah, that's right.
Anybody listening still remembers that gets a free deck of cards.
giant belt, heavy belt, and we got to give that to him yesterday. So, First Sergeant Council.
Well deserved.
Yeah. And that kind of ended the award ceremony. And then I jumped off the stage along with Chief Wiseman, because at the time he was still the command chief. And we ran off the stage and went back to get ready for the change of responsibility. And Brader ad-libbed it, came up on the stage.
A little bit. I think it worked out kind of nice while you guys went and reset.
Yep.
We got to tie it together. And you mentioned it, or both of you guys mentioned it earlier. You know, there's only so many reserve days in a year.
Yeah.
And you break it down by hours, it gets pretty hefty. But we work hard and we play hard together. And the way we tied it together yesterday was, we also need to get used to celebrating together. Mm. And while we celebrated quarterly awards and that kind of stuff, and then certainly the first shirt award, we also got to do it in front of our families, which I thought was very special. And then I tried to tie it tightly with what's going on downrange. You know, twice in the last year, the balloon's gone up, and we've had to get the wing and jets and airmen with the capital A ready to go downrange.
Right.
And we've done it again. And it's not just go downrange as a ragtag group of folks. We go downrange and hit the ground running. We're ready to go to work because of all the stuff that we do here year round to keep us going. And I think it was a well received. I saw a lot of head nods, and some
they weren't falling asleep.
They weren't falling asleep. No, some were staying awake.
Anyway, so yeah, so we did the awards, then we ran right into the change of responsibility, and for a ceremony I'd never seen before. We practiced a couple times, but I thought it went super great ceremony. And what you had to say, Chief, was I've already gotten multiple people who didn't know you, hadn't heard you speak, had absolutely great things to say about what you said and how you said it.
My favorite quote from yesterday, my family is not a footnote, they're my foundation. And I loved it. It was just a takeaway I took from yesterday. Just absolutely. It was a good takeaway.
Full transparency, public speaking, I hate it. Get me to teach in front of a class, I love it. That's my sweet spot, but having to do public speaking. So I was nervous, and I truly prayed that everybody would just hear my heart. If I stumble over words, if I make a fool out of myself, just hear my heart. So that's what I wanted to hopefully walk away with every airman.
Oh, you hit the target.
Well, they did.
Yeah, the passion was apparent.
You bet. And but when you're also when Chief Scott was a narrator, he stumbled so much narrating that I think you did just fine.
Oh, you couldn't pay me enough to be an MC. So kudos.
You're right.
I'd like to see him say singularly one more time.
He got to the point, I think, with that word singularly. I can't even say it right either. And he just skipped it. He's like, all right, I'm not going to say that word anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, bringing up Chief Scott, that just, there's so many people who brought yesterday together to make it happen. Yeah. And it was amazing.
Yep.
And so a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into coordinating three different events. It's hard enough to get one.
And everyone volunteered for that. Everyone volunteered to include Chief Scott, and he did it because he wanted the ceremony to go off without a hitch, you know?
They did it perfectly.
You're right. And sometimes, you know, you don't like saying names because you're going to forget somebody. I know that the main component of making that happen, Sergeant Yates, Sergeant Bray, Sergeant Jenny Spear, Colonel Espy, and then everyone that volunteered under their leadership to make it happen is kind of what I saw.
And then all hands on deck, filling the auditorium or the hangar with the chairs. And,
you're right. Yeah.
I mean, just countless people.
There were so many things going on behind the scenes.
It was really good to see.
You're exactly right. But I've heard great things, and maybe that's just because people are, or really they didn't have to say anything. If it wasn't that great, people just wouldn't comment, but people have just, and it was wonderful to have that opportunity, for you to meet the wing. And say what is on your mind, so they kind of understood where you were coming from, you know?
Yeah, it was so special. Yep. So special. Yep. And, you know, I think that's something else that we don't do enough in the Air Force Reserves Command, because that's part of our culture, part of our history, that airmen need to see the ceremonies, the heritage, the history we passed down, the flag folding for Colonel or Chief Wiseman's retirement. That is a very powerful and emotional moment that we don't get to see too often until you become a senior leader. But it's it's powerful, moving.
Do you guys agree the closer we all get toward the end of the line, and let's be honest, we're all in the twilight of our careers.
We're at the end of the
Most
line.
Most of the listening audience isn't. That some are at the very beginning. Yep. And I would trade them today, by the way, just to start all over.
I'm with you.
But the closer you get to that retirement, you start to pay attention to the details and the nuances. Just about everybody does a little bit of a twist on the retirement ceremony with a flag folding. And you hear something every time that you store it. Chief called it a Polaroid moment.
Yeah.
And yesterday was another one of those.
It is. I'm to the point where I start attending these ceremonies and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to take that one and put it in my toolbox. Same. I'm going to have that.
Yeah.
Oh, not doing that one. Yeah. That's how close.
Right. Right.
Or short my runway is.
Right.
It's getting short. It's an assault zone now.
So I think most of our wing was there yesterday, but if you had to kind of truncate your message to some of the folks that they're listening, or what would you like to tell them from the get-go now that you're here and you're an Okie?
You think about what your leadership philosophy is coming into these things. And if I had to sum it up in three phrases or so, I want to ignite potential. I want to lead with purpose, and I want to elevate excellence. You know, not every airman knows what they have in them until you show them. And I don't think we give our airmen, or they don't give themselves credit enough for what they have within themselves. And so it's our job as leaders to ignite that spark, get them passionate about something, help them see everything that they're doing. It's amazing. It's greater than
humbling.
So that's what I would.
That's great. That's well said. I don't think you could pick better words. honestly, if you sat down with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
What is it again?
ChatGPT.
And how much does it cost a month? No, you are a great orator of the English language. To be fair, because I was sitting down from an audience perspective, not only did the ceremony go good, but I thought the delivery of the speeches, which I know a lot goes into that, was very well delivered. And those of us that are down in the audience, you learn a lot just by watching.
Well, we had also the 72nd Air Base Wing, the brand new commander, Colonel Harris, Cisco Harris. He took the reins the day before. And that was his first event, I think, as wing commander. Literally the first event he went to. And he came and was a part of it, which was just nice to see that he got the word and it meant enough on the first day of his command to be there. So, and Chief Still was there. Just a good turnout, really good turnout. Not to mention all the families that were
so there. Neat, very so, unique.
So Chief Oro, you were born and raised?
Zapata, Texas.
Zapata. So I said it right yesterday.
You did.
Zapata.
You did a great job.
You rolled it.
All right. And you said that's 4 hours south of San Antonio.
It is.
If anyone had asked me, can you go 4 hours south of San Antonio and still be in the United States? I would have put a paycheck down to say, no, absolutely. You can't go 4 hours south and still be in the United States.
Is it a border crazy town?
Oh, it's got to be.
Okay, so it's right at, yeah.
Yeah, we share a lake with Mexico. Okay. Half the lake is in the United States, and the other half is in Mexico.
Mexico. How many people are in your high school?
Now, so my dad joined the Army late, so I ended up leaving Zapata when I was about 10, and we
started
moving. What was the mascot? Zapata mascot? Zebras or something? I have to know.
Zebras.
Fight Zapata. Fight. Fight. Fight.
I think it's a hawk.
A hawk. The Hawks. The go Hawks.
Yeah. Fight
Zapata. I just had to know.
But I actually graduated in Germany from high school. Okay. That's where I ended up graduating.
That's great.
And then I got off the Army brat train in Colorado. And so that's how I got there.
Is that where he retired?
No, he got stationed there, and then I jumped off the train, and he continued to go to Shreveport, back to Germany, and a couple more places before he actually retired.
So, but you said something in your change of responsibility. The most pride you took was being a mom and a wife.
Well, you know, when I left the art world 17 years ago to be a stay-at-home mom and wife, that first couple of years, I realized I worked harder doing that than I ever did.
As an art.
As a 9-to-5. And that's saying a lot for anybody who knows what the art world's like, but.
Yeah.
Were you an art?
No.
I was for about a year and a half.
No, I didn't do the art. Did active duty. That full-time force, that full-time force is what props us up around here. And is a traditional reservist that comes in. You show up and the lights are on, the grass is trimmed, and you just get to go to work. But it's the full-time force that really keeps us afloat around here. So
I used to joke when I was in art that I would love it if I could find out how to do it without the UTAs.
Yeah.
Because your week leading up to getting ready for everybody to come in.
Yeah.
The week after, you're cleaning up after all the
TRs. Everybody came in.
And now I feel horrible because I'm one of those TRs that somebody's
now we have to clean up after me. Yeah.
A dear friend of ours, Brad Ross, Colonel Ross, he calls it the dirty dozen.
Yeah.
Because it's just a dozen.
That's
days.
A lot of units says that. The dirty dozen. Exactly right. I still think we should talk about your leadership style, what you're hoping to ask of your enlisted force, professional development. Kind of talk us through some of those priorities and what are some of your goals?
Well, I got asked this a couple of times yesterday about, Chief, what led you here? What got you to the place that you are today? And so I was thinking about that because there's so much that goes into that. And the truth is I can sit there and, I did this PME, I did this class, I made sure I went here. But the truth is, that's box checking. And
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
When I really boil it down, it was almost like what Chief Wiseman was talking about, those Polaroid moments. And it got me reflecting on earlier in my career, I was a young senior airman, I was a single mom, I was fairly new still to the military, struggling to juggle it all. And I had a senior leader come up and ask me, how are you? And they weren't asking about my job performance or anything work related. It was a genuine interest. But it was those 5 minutes that they spent with me with that true care and concern that dropped the seed of how important presence is. right? And then obviously we talked yesterday in my speech and yours about my son, Monchito, who passed away when he was six. But it was my reserve family, because I was an art at the time, that came and surrounded me and helped me get through some of the darkest moments of my life. And that taught me the importance of being present, empathy, encouragement, you know, and just that being a family. And I think it was my career is filled with moments like that that helped shape me as a leader today more than just necessarily any PME. And professional development so important. But it, I think sometimes we overcomplicate it and we focus so much on all these classes and things when really it's those conversations, right? It's having someone sit across from you and ask you, what steps are you scared to take next and kind of push you and develop you and train you to have hard conversations, things that you need to be a great leader, empathy, that presence. The technical is fine, but fine tuning those moments as a leader that everybody needs and too few and too far between seem to have them.
Yeah, that's well said. I used to tell people before they got into any version of PME they're getting ready to do, don't let the school work and the classroom work get in the way of your education. Because so many times it's maybe a public speaker that came in, maybe one of the instructors, almost always another fellow classmate that left a, you know, some lasting impression on you. Yeah.
So like yesterday with Colonel Harris, the brand new 72nd Air Base Wing commander just had his change of command on Friday. And there he is showing up Saturday, not because he's getting anything out of our ceremony, but to show that he's one fight. We are a partner. Yeah. And that's leadership shown in real life for all the airmen to see.
And you just talked about the 72nd. We also have the 552, the AWACS wing, and we have the OCALC, the Oklahoma City Air Logistics Center, STRATCOM Wing 1. Mm-hmm. Well, so later tonight, I anticipate probably a call-in. Colonel Harris will be the driver behind the call. His weather shop will put a call together, and all of us will be on the line, and we'll talk about the weather because all of us are going to go through this together. So it's a communicative device that that phone call is, where we can talk about what the weather's going to present and then all the needs of each wing, you know. And to your point, Colonel Harris was here because we're partners, because we're all going through this together and we all help each other out. That's what we do.
Can I take a moment and put a shameless plug in for Colonel Rosetta? Colonel Harris took over the 72nd, as we all just said, and he took over from a dynamite leader and mentor of many. And Colonel Rosetta did such a nice job over the last several years, certainly being a partner to the 507th. Mm-hmm. Anything we ever needed, she was there with any kind of logistical assets.
Even that spirit mission our LTs did.
With the exception of getting the table from the bar, which they got back.
Our LTs, Spirit Mission.
I thought it was good.
Yep. They went over. They went to the club. They stealthily took a table and brought it back to the squadron here in the 507th. And it didn't go over so well.
Colonel said it was less than impressive.
To be completely honest, because that's what we are here in Refuel Radio. We're 100% honest with our listeners. That's what we do. 100%. I was proud of our LTs.
I was too.
Although we might have ended up in the blotter that night. I was proud of our LTs. It wasn't them in the blotter. It was me in the blotter. So I took the heat.
You went to captain's mask. She was always really good at herding cats over the weather calls and all that.
You're right. It's exactly right. And she led those. Although the 72nd doesn't have any of the planes. They just make sure that, you know, the runway, the roads, they're kind of, they call them the mayor, the tinker mayor. That's the 72nd commander.
That shows some initiative planning. We send a lot of our officers to a lot of different schools to learn how to plan operations. And so they were leaning forward into
planning that
strategic operation plan.
Are we back to the table?
Maybe some night ops.
It was midnight. Evening. It was
midnight.
It did involve.
And they happened to have found a door open. I won't tell them what, well, I'll tell you which one, because then that might lead to more of these. But they found a door open. They went in and grabbed it and
took photos.
If they had done it with Seaburn, they could have gotten...
They could have gotten credit for the training.
And to be fair, I think there's still a debate. It's actually our table because it's got our patch on it.
It does. They took our table off the wall. That's right.
But I
like where you went with that, Chief. They could have done it in their Seaburn stuff, and then we could have got credit for it. They just taken pictures.
I like that.
And signed it. They could have signed in on a sign-up sheet. Yep. It would have been good.
Part of rat training.
So for those that don't know, Chief O'Rourke and I go way back together. We grew up within AFRIC together.
Do we have to say way back, like that emphasis on the way?
Way back. Well, way back to a lieutenant is like 6 months ago. And way back to you and I is, you know, decade and a half ago. And we cut our teeth and grew up together, very much so, in Colorado. One of my favorite memories, before I asked Chief one of hers, was sitting across all these long, long pre-UTA meetings together. And the way the room set up, we were always sitting across from each other, always. And the longer the meeting would go along, the more we'd look at the clock and look at each other and look around, kind of like, are we ever going to get out of here? And out of here is like 9-10 o'clock at night on a Friday night before a UTA.
They would
just get like, really prolonged. And it was always a breath of fresh air, because Chief's always got a smile on her face and very positive, good positive spin. But it was neat to see the humanizing side behind Chief, knowing that she too was ready to get out of that meeting.
Well, let's turn this to local. What'd you think about our pre-UTA? Was it too long, too short? So first off, we didn't make the beginning of the pre-UTA. Well, I did. Oh, it was a change of command. I think it was Colonel Rosetta's change of command or her retirement the other day. So I was late to the pre-UTA. And Cassie said they were going to keep it under 20 minutes. Colonel Espy goes, oh, it'll be under 20 minutes. And I was praying.
You know, I did see everybody take a collective sigh when you made
when
it.
When I walked in. I knew you were going to say that. That's why I brought it up.
Darn it. Okay, we didn't make it.
Cancel lunch.
Because I dared her to do it within 20 minutes. Because I thought, if I can't be there, I got a lot to say. I got to say something. I got something to say.
That's funny.
So it was pretty funny. I saw that. That's why I brought it up.
So during the pre-UTA, one of the very first slides that pops up is a slide titled, While You Were Gone, I believe. And right now, it's got photos primarily of what's going on here in the full-time world. And being a traditional reservist and coming in spurts, I've always thought, how neat would it be if our listeners, traditional reservists, would send in photos about what they do on the outside, whether that is
I got you. I see what you're saying.
Their place of work, their families, their community.
As opposed to RPA kind of giving us, we could show what they're doing. That's a neat
idea. And if we get our listeners to send in some photos to RPA, crack staff, we might be able to put together a slide on, hey, what we've been doing on the outside since we've been gone as well. Because not all superheroes wear capes. And it's kind of neat to see what we do on the outside as well.
Yeah, that's what makes us unique. Active duty doesn't have that, right? They transition, they go about their jobs, and what they do Monday through Friday is what they do all the time. Whereas we have airmen who do amazing things that have nothing to do with what they come in on the reserve side and do.
Right.
And I am totally just inspired every time I meet an airman and I find out that one of our E6s, has a PhD or, is a CEO somewhere. It's just amazing what they do. And then that's something that they bring to the fight that it makes us unique.
Well, then I think that's an awesome idea. That's an awesome idea. Then I mean, you chose to do a challenge. I challenge our many, many listeners, many listeners out there to send those in, post it on Facebook or Instagram, our 507th page. We could grab them. And you know what we'd do is we'd post them at our pre-UTA, but I'm sure we could come up with another avenue where we could post them and make a bigger deal of this for the member, for the squadron that the member's in, whether it's, we make a visit to that squadron to say thank you over UTA or, whatever the cleverest picture is, most fun, the most interesting, whatever the picture is, it'd just be fun to acknowledge that we received it and go to that unit, and talk to the airman about whatever it was that person did, and just be a cool opportunity.
Exciting.
It's an excuse to get out to see the units, really, is what
nice
it is.
Nice twist.
That's what I'm trying
to
do, So it'd be a fun challenge to the folks listening to this, the members of our wing. I love that idea.
Post a picture, the most likes, the visit from the command
team. Oh, that's fun.
That would be fun. It would be. Yeah, and we bring donuts. That's what we do. We bring donuts.
Along those lines, we have an avenue for Ask the Commander a question. And, from the 405 this last month, one of our airmen sent in a nice question asking about the next family day. It sounds like in May that their family just loved our event. And
that's awesome.
They would like to know, is the event, can we expect the same type of event in 2026?
Right. I love that. Well, I think family days only get better each year.
They sure do.
This year, we had more jets come. We had a C-5 out of the ramp. We had fighters that were coming. The AC gunships were coming. We would fill that ramp up. So the answer is every year it's better than the last because it's another opportunity to excel. And every year it belongs to another group. Another group is responsible for pulling it on. 2 years ago was maintenance. This past year, the one we just had was ops. And this next year will be MSG, be the mission support group. So,
no pressure MSG, yeah, but it's expected to be better.
That's right. That's right. Yep. That's
my
right.
Money's on them. They've got a great group.
So many, and people truly love that day. It is an awesome day.
Yeah. At all ages. So neat.
I've never seen a group of reservists that want to come together the way they do. Truly. And that is a testament to this place. The family days are. So I love that question. That's a really cool question. So my idea about ask the commander a question, or just ask a question in general, our public affairs office sends out a link every Friday prior to the next to the UTA, and it gives a link to the most current episode of Refuel Radio. How about we just use that email to reply to, and that is the tool to ask him a question. If you have a question, which I'm sure many people do, just reply to the email that you receive on Friday prior to UTA. The July UTA is as crystal clear as mud can be. It's not mandatory, but it's not optional. So everyone at the end of the June UTA, which is right now, needs to be greened up, and they can basically have the July UTA off. The next time the wing gets together, our deployers will be out the door. However, there is an opportunity for them to leave earlier than that, which that's what we do. That's what we for us to flag goes up. That's what our wing does. That's why we're here to deploy when the nation calls. But less than the regular amount of reservists will be here in the units because of their deployment. It might take a few months for everyone to get back here for you to meet everyone. And so it really may not be till November.
About the holidays. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our holiday party really season is going to be pretty special. Yeah. Getting everybody back together. You'll get to meet just about everybody and their family.
That's right.
Which
that's
I know right. That'll mean
I just started thinking about that with the deployment. Your Chief Warwick, it's going to be long before everyone is back in the same place. Yep.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to meeting everybody, but the ones that I have meet, you just mentioned how some the deployment may change, mm-hmm. and when coming in and learning what they've had to go through just the last two weeks to make things happen. I know that they've had to deal with a lot of frustrations and moments that would honestly break other people, but a different caliber of airmen here. Everyone I've run into, they've told me the challenges that they've had, but they've said it with a smile and they understand, we're here to do the mission. And it's just been amazing, story after story of the commitment that these airmen have to doing the mission.
Right.
And not just their commitment as airmen, but the commitment their families have to them, to allow them to do this.
It's the whole family. It's definitely the whole family. Yeah.
Yeah, that's well said. It humbles you walking around the wing and then just seeing the commitment. And it's not just the folks going out the door. It's those supporting them. It took each and every member of our wing to get them going. And without embarrassing names, we had some folks over at the CADM that when people needed to go get their 9mm qual updated, the answer was yes. The answer was no, and then we had to figure out how to
get it. And our folks took them, right?
Yeah, folks said yes, and then we'll figure out how to do it safely and get the mission accomplished.
Yeah.
And for probably the first time in the better part of 15 years, it was just neat for me to see somebody say yes. Mm-hmm. Not build from no, but start at yes and then figure out how to get it done. And that meant the world to me. And the folks over there were recognized for it, and hats off to those folks. Just keeping the mission going.
Yeah, it takes a village. You don't just get to and go. It takes a village to make the mission happen.
Mm, absolutely.
Every part of that machine is important. Mm. And sometimes we lose sight of that and it could build consternation. But everybody here, it's mission first. There, how can I help you? And you don't get that everywhere. That is unique.
Very good.
Okay. Although I'm trying to figure it out because airmen are going out, airmen are coming in. And this truly is the first time in my career that I'm not down the road to go meet every airman and their family at the airport as they're coming and going.
So,
and so I'm truly trying to figure out how do I do that?
How do we do this?
Because my heart wants to do that.
Yeah.
How do I do that from Colorado?
Yep. No, you're right. And there's there's a lot of planes to catch, a lot of people to see off, and then a lot of returnees. So when they get back with their families. And that was actually more fun than seeing everybody off.
So if you have good ideas about how I can do that.
We're on that. We're on that.
Maybe you and I could end up on an iPad and the boss could carry us around on the returning deal. And there will be virtually.
I love that.
In spirit.
I also wanted to mention, I forgot before we wrap this episode up, we have a new honorary commander. So each unit is presented with a local civilian in one of the local townships, or maybe it's organization. In fact, the Comets, the local baseball team, we had a previous honorary commander there. But we were just presented a new honorary commander name. And a few months ago, I was able to meet him. It's Mr. Brooks Mitchell, who is the city manager of Moore, Oklahoma. So right down the street.
Nice job.
He's been, I think, on the base twice. So he knows very little about Tinker itself proper. What we do, he is, I think, kind of a novice to the military side of things. So everything we show him is it's through the eyes of someone who is just learning about what we do, how we do it in the military. So Brooks was at all of our ceremonies yesterday, and so is some of his staff members who are always there. They support our airmen with the awards, and they help us present things to them when they win. Little gift cards, things like that. The city of Moore does. And so they accompanied him, but I was able to introduce him yesterday. I just wanted to make that announcement because he's going to be here. He's going to be involved in everything we do. And he's Noki. This is his wing. And I look forward to bringing him out more and just introducing him to what we do, because one of my goals is to bring the community to the wing and the wing to the community and get out and tell them about the Okies, because we are the Okies. We are their Okies. And I can tell you from experience, when I go into crowds and I say that, typically I'm interrupted with applause.
From the local
populace. They interrupt me because they're so proud of that patch, and they're so proud of hearing that there's a squadron or a wing on this base that are the Okies. So I just wanted to pass that out, and it's awesome to have Brooks be our brand new honorary commander. He's psyched.
Just a nice gentleman.
Yep. Really good guy.
I got to meet him for the first time yesterday, and I was just blown away. Him and his staff.
Yeah, you're right.
How much they care. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, it was hot in that hangar yesterday. I was praying I didn't pass out on the stage. But they stayed. Like, even after it was over, they made a point to stay and go and talk to our airmen.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to. But that just shows how much they care. So that Okie thing,
it's real.
It's a real
It's thing. Real.
Completely agree. And it's just fun to talk about, because that program, I think it's a wonderful program.
So, you can do a lot for your airmen with the backing of your community.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it makes it so much easier to do our job when we have the support of the local community.
And there are some organizations. Home Away From Home is one that's mentioned a lot. And it modeled itself after the Air Force Academy. And you get a sponsor family.
Sponsors.
They have this Home Away From Home program where they sponsor the airmen that are here, where their families are not local. And they take them in just like a sponsor family.
Exact same contract.
Same concept. Yeah. So, and there's something here. But it's just for reservists. We don't typically come in and stay long. We come in on orders every once in a while, and I'm not sure, I don't think it would fit perfectly with us, but it definitely fits for the active duty that are here, because they're here by themselves, the younger folks especially. Yeah. They're living in the dorms and things like that. So all right. Chief, is there anything else you want to say to the airmen before we wrap this Ocho Plus One up? What do you think?
I have so much to say. I'm looking forward to future podcasts and really having more real conversations, just trying to encourage, maybe even provide comfort, share from our experiences and learn more about the airmen, what they're going through, what they want to see. So I'm really hoping we get some suggestions and topics from the airmen, because that's what we want. We want to close the gap between leadership,
right? Because
they juggle so much, families, mission, everything, that sometimes leadership can seem distant. And so I love that you all have created this venue to help just close that gap a little bit and kind of have real talk.
And it's fun. I think it's fun for all of us.
Yeah. And this was, and this is supposed to be a tool to bring information to them, to learn about not just us, but our mission sets. And we have other members in the wing staff and their leadership that will come, that have come in before and talked. But we try to bring them the information that is on their minds, you know. And I think some of the things we talked about, your arrival chief is a big deal. The deployment is a big deal. And then there's other little things that are happening here and there within the groups that are a big deal.
I'm learning the 507th is a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. The Okies, Okie family.
Yep. But Chief, again, welcome.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Psyched to have you here.
Me too.
Brayer, it's nice to have you back.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, sir. You bet, appreciate it. I love being a part of it.
All right, Okies, until next time. See ya.
And this war we're fighting today and tomorrow and the next day until we win.